Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory communication number 84. The loneliness of initiation. The loneliness of planetary initiation is the profound mark of the rupture of the racial links between the new man and the old man. This solitude marks the end, or the beginning of the end, of old man, whose subjective consciousness can no longer fulfill the role that it had marked during involution. The solitude of planetary initiation corresponds to a profound change in man. A change that brings him a new equilibrium, based on his creative intelligence and creative will. This solitude is not negative, as boredom can be. It's simply a state of mind, no longer suited to the state of being that man knew before planetary and solar initiation. This solitude, which can be called solitude of spirit, predisposes man to rely more and more on himself, to live more and more on his own energies, instead of on the energies of those around him, as was the case during his unconscious life. The solitude of the spirit enables man to become aware of his own consciousness and realize that it is no longer the same, either mentally or emotionally. Indeed, the loneliness of planetary initiation stems from this realization. In the beginning, man has the impression of becoming more and more a stranger to his planet. This situation may last for some time, until a new balance is created within him, as the mental and emotional realignments are readjusted. The solitude of the spirit enables man to realize his inner strength. That is to say, his ability to live on the material plane, according to an energy that comes from him and guides him in his everyday movements. And this, without his ego interfering with the intention of the energy, intelligence and creative will that are part of him. The planetary initiate's solitude corresponds to a profound state, born of the dislocation between the body of desire and the will of the double, which is in the process of forming. And this solitude can be sufficiently accentuated to give man the temporary impression that life is not, or no longer, worth living. And yet this is not the case. But the mental and emotional state must be readjusted so that this discomfort, this suffering, ceases. Then life becomes normal again, but different from what it was before, because it's no longer made of the same material. But since planetary initiation is a vibratory process that alters man's consciousness, it's only natural that a certain amount of time should be allowed for this transformation. Otherwise, the experience would be too heavy, too painful, and man wouldn't be able to live through it. The solitude of planetary initiation predisposes man to the confrontation of his memory and his new state, where his old memory no longer serves him in the same way. For the mental form of energy has been transformed to give rise to a greater void which the spirit, that is, the creative intelligence and will of the double, fills. The human being is not accustomed to living according to another part of himself that is not subject to the laws of matter and the senses. Thus, the ego is stripped of values that once formed part of its psychological security. Stripped of this psychological security, It must recognize another witch. This time is real. Because it is the product of intelligence and will, and not of the influence of form on its mental and emotional state. The solitude of planetary initiation corresponds to the collapse of the old man and the development of the new man. And no planetary influence can do this work on man. Since this work is done from within and outside the waves of egoic influence. In other words, the ego undergoing the vibratory changes of the double cannot interfere with these changes, as they are no longer under its subjective control, since it has lost the illusion that it should be otherwise. The solitude of planetary initiation penetrates all planes of the evolving being, substituting the old memory for the new. The new memory has nothing in common with the old, except that it can reproduce identical forms. But it is fundamentally different, because it is imprinted on the physical brain from the imprinting power of the double, instead of being imprinted on the physical brain from man's astral consciousness. The new memory is much more subtle and changeable than the old one. It is subtle because it is part of the new intelligence. And it is changeable because it is not governed by the systematic rigidity of the pre-transformation ego. The change in memory is equivalent to a change in consciousness. And it is this profound situation that creates the strange sensation of the new man's solitude in front of the old world he still lives in. Such solitude sometimes seems helpless. But this is because the ego always wants to relate to its past experiences, to measure the value of its present experience. And in the case of this solitude, he is powerless to change anything, because he is too conscious to return to the past, and not yet conscious enough to know its future, or understand its present. The effect is twofold. It forces the ego to stop worrying. That is, to analyze or try to understand, and at the same time allows him to absorb sufficiently powerful mental and emotional energy to make him realize that he is living in a situation that must eventually come to an end. But he doesn't know what the end is. And this adds to his egoic confusion. And it's only in time that he sees the end. And then the work has been done. The loneliness of planetary initiation is the measure of identity that human beings experience. As long as he lives in this solitude, his identity is still developing. And when it is fully formed, this solitude no longer exists. That is to say, it's suffering. But as the double becomes more and more present in man, and the new memory becomes more and more creative, loneliness is gradually replaced by a creative power, which gushes forth from the being like a fountain and fills the void which, at the beginning of the transformation, was painful. Loneliness is so important, or so much a part of the work that the double does in man, that it can be said that all those who experience this initiation will know its loneliness. This solitude must not be confused with the psychological solitude of the unconscious human being. The unconscious being can feel loneliness, because his unconscious life lacks certain elements with which to fill it. On the other hand, The man who lives the conscious solitude of planetary initiation could have all these elements in his unconscious life and would still suffer. Because it's no longer based on the absence of anything, but on the inability to see his future. The unconscious being does not necessarily seek to know his future. The conscious being, at a certain point in his evolution, must see, must understand a little of his future, because he is no longer under the illusory control of the ego, but under the real control of his double, the real part of himself. And as he becomes more and more aware of himself, it's only natural that he should also become aware of his future. But the future of the conscious being is not built by the ego, but through the ego, according to the power of the double, or fusion. Hence, it's only when the ego can no longer subjectively interfere with life's events that he can begin to know its future. From then on, loneliness begins to disappear, as he begins to see, to live on a different scale, and to reintegrate himself into life consciously. But the loneliness of initiation can only be experienced as a function of higher consciousness, and an ever-increasing realization that it is only temporary. Otherwise, it becomes too heavy for the ego, which can no longer bear it, or can only bear it by virtue of its inner knowledge. Conscious loneliness cannot be compared to unconscious loneliness because it cannot be measured psychologically. In other words, it is imposed on the ego to awaken him to a reality which, tomorrow, will become its real consciousness. That's why this solitude is so consequential, because it forces the ego to sever its racial ties with the unconscious man of the earth. Without this inner break, the ego would remain in its old memory and never discover its new, creative memory. This is one of the fundamental reasons why the evolution of cosmic consciousness can only take place on Earth at the end of the 20th century. 4. Before then, mankind had not yet completed the period of formation of the old memory. In other words, man still had lower planetary experience to live through before experiencing the higher experience of his universal or cosmic consciousness. The solitude of planetary initiation coincides with the resurrection in man of the so-called Christ consciousness. That is, that consciousness which no longer emanates from the lower planes of evolution, but from the ether. This solitude is so important to the implantation of Christ consciousness on Earth that only those who have fully experienced and understood it can begin to realize the occult and esoteric, if not hermetic, messages that have been delivered to humanity in the past by beings of higher consciousness, whom man has elevated to the rank of the sacred. Because he was then living on the ancient memory of humanity, which forced him to reject what he could not understand, only to accept what could make him feel secure emotionally. With the advent of planetary and solar initiation, this situation is completely reversed, such that man can no longer orient his psychology, his being, towards the past of the old memory, but towards the future of the new memory. And this experience coincides with solitude, the nature and function of which we explain below. Conscious solitude runs through the whole being, affecting all its energy centers, so that no part of himself escapes the transforming power of the double, which affects, little by little, man's astral body and lower mental body. Solitude is so great in its creative action that the ego can no longer call it solitude, as it once did. He can only see it as an emotional and mental state undergoing vibratory change. The great particularity of this solitude makes man recognize, for the first time in his life, that he is indeed a stranger on a strange planet that doesn't belong to him, because he hasn't yet conquered it by the power of energy, of which he is made and shaped. This realization is painful, for man no longer has, as in the past, the relief that comes with the old solitude. Conscious solitude seems totally foreign to him, as if plunging him into a state of mind he had never known before. For he had always protected himself, in one way or another, against his double or its reality. Now that the wall is breaking down between him and his double, it seems more and more as if the latter is living inside him, and not just him in matter. The new solitude confounds man, for he only understands it as he experiences it and as it rises up before him like the thick mist rising from the ground after having kept man in a kind of strange semi-darkness, which he knows to be temporary and without danger. The human being has always known how to occupy his time in all sorts of ways, because he has always been able to use his body of desire to constantly maintain a false fullness inside himself, even if this fullness was illusory. But now that he has come to experience emptiness, which is in fact only the extreme aspect of conscious solitude, he realizes that the higher, conscious life is not made and built in the same way as the old one. And therein lies its mystery. It can only be understood by those who experience it and cannot be transposed philosophically to others who sojourn on the other multiple shores of unconscious man's experimental and planetary consciousness. Conscious solitude does not conflict with man's psychological life but makes him realize that he is far more powerless in his creativity than he previously imagined. And this realization enables him to see, to understand, why creativity has nothing to do with the memory of the old man, that it is the product of the tightening between the double and the ego. But this tightening cannot take place until the ego has fully grasped that life, as it must evolve, has nothing to do with the way, as an insecure ego, projects it. And this is where loneliness becomes painful, as the ego realizes that it no longer has subjective control over its life, but that his double knows every aspect of it, and that all aspects develop according to the time allotted to them by it. All the ego has to do is fall into step with the double. That is to say, with its intelligence and creative will. Then solitude no longer exists. The ego is then master of its own life, having learned to understand what it needs to understand about himself, about his double. After all, the double is the real man behind the ego, not the other way round. But man has always thought he was man, when in fact he was only an emotional and mental caricature of the ego behind which the real man, the double, was working to conquer the soul of ancient memory. The great solitude of the ego is equivalent to the conquest of the soul by the double, its final conquest. So that the cycle of life and death stops and no longer delays the evolution of the energy of matter and light that penetrates organized matter and gives it its direction. Its evolution. Man must stop being a thinker and become a creator. But for this to happen, he must experience the great solitude of the ego, which reverses the polarity of intelligence and emotion, and makes emotion pure and intelligence perfect. This is the man of tomorrow, the man who will no longer be able to extinguish the forces of life within himself, and who will thereby become life and strength. The solitude of planetary initiation will pass through all those who must know the nature of the ego's rebellion against the soul. This rebellion must match the truest expression of the presence of the double within, or behind man, behind the ego. And this perfect expression is manifest in this solitude. For the light of the double is on earth. And the ego, unconscious man, wanted to replace it, using the soul's memory as an umbrella against its terrible, powerful presence. But the time had not yet come. So, man, the ego, had to evolve until today. Now that the times have arrived, the sons of Jacob must reap the bitter lesson of planetary and unconscious life. And this lesson is contained in the dispersal of ancient memory, experienced in the effect on the human psyche of the great solitude of planetary initiation. The new man will transcend the very nature of his egoic consciousness, so that he can contemplate the origin of things and participate more closely in the relaunch in this part of the galaxy of the total effort contained within a civilization that will no longer be confused with the regional culture known to the divided races of the old man. And for this civilization to dazzle all that has been built on the globe in the past, the new man will have to assert his new memory against the old. And to this end, the solitude of solar and planetary initiation is perfectly suited to the subtle planes of man's reality. Human beings need to get to the bottom of their perplexing nature. And this experience can only be gained if he feels upset in his psychological state about what allows him or allowed him in the past not to recognize the intrinsically intransigent nature of the double. The energy of the double supported the lower activity of the ego, as long as the latter had to perfect himself and increase the power of its mind, because he had to understand what he had to live for in the future of the race. The solitude of the planetary initiate is a reality only for those who know it. But this realization is so absolute that the experience itself can only be refused if the double himself refuses to be liberated, because his relationship with man cannot yet be perfectly established. The inner isolation created by the great solitude can only be suitable for those who are ready to be penetrated by the ray of creation, which is part of the color of the double and which generates in man all the energy he needs to drive away from himself the forces which transform the activity of this ray into ignorance, because they are still too much imprinted on man's unconsciousness. We mustn't forget that man, real man, is a cosmic being. That is to say, a creative force emanating from the conjunction of undifferentiated energy with the very center of man, still hidden from the eyes of men of Earth. Once man has discovered this center, they will be able to see that the ultimate dimension of reality coincides with the double's access to the primordial energy imprisoned in man's inferior and planetary matter, found in the mental, emotional, vital, and physical. If the human being must experience great solitude before fusion, it's to prepare him to receive the energy of the double, without experiencing duality between himself and the double. For all duality represents the lack of freedom from the double of the spirit. And until the double is freed, it's impossible for man to undertake anything on earth that might make him aware of the relationship between flesh and light. This is why man has always had the impression of being, before actually being real. That is to say, before being able to convert the energy of the double into will and intelligence. Hence man's eventual power over the earth and the stars. The great solitude represents man's first real experience outside his egocentricity. That's why the experience itself is painful. Not because it's really painful, but because man's ego is still at the stage of astral transformation. And this transformation must lead him to the stage of total transformation of his being, which will take place when man's brothers come to earth to beget or give birth to the sons of light, who will have been prepared to receive them, without fear, without ignorance, in full awareness of their power. Solitude rips open the walls of the ego. It opens beyond itself, beyond the mental ego consciousness of its secular apprenticeship. The ego learns to stop stirring up the dust of his memory, of his false feelings, and to exercise upon himself the patience of his relationship with the energy of the double, which must adjust before he can use it for his personal benefit and that of the creative life in general. The loneliness of planetary initiation lasts as long as the emotional body has not been sufficiently reinforced by the vibratory shocks created by the double through events. This reinforcement adjusts the mind to a higher vibration. It is this higher vibration of mental energy that creates this loneliness, as the ego no longer intervenes in life as he did in the past. Life seems to happen beyond its control. And this is not easy at first, as he feels increasingly devoid of real authority. As the loneliness fades, the ego begins to live with an increasingly powerful authority, for his intelligence and will are now principles of life not colored by his astrality. Its authority over life returns. And the more he becomes aware, the more he realizes this authority, until the day when total fusion gives him authority, even on the lowest planes of matter. The solitude of initiation fades with intelligence and understanding. Whatever the vibratory rate that man must experience in his subtle bodies, he can no longer, after solitude, suffer from it, because the energy is no longer blocked by the ego. We say that the planetary man is becoming cosmic. In other words, his double becomes increasingly powerful in matter. And this power becomes man's creative power. At the end of the cycle, those who have fully experienced fusion will understand the human phenomenon to such an extent that the very nature of planetary consciousness will be affected. Because the new man will then be able to act instead of reacting. And when a conscious being acts, he alters the consciousness of his planet and teaches those who come after him about reality. The extraterrestrial phenomenon, for example, is extremely important for humanity. But it only becomes real for man when he can live on a wavelength parallel to it. In order to understand it and to be understood by these beings, in the sense of a universal, shared consciousness. The extraterrestrial being is a being whose matter and double are one. And man must reach this stage of evolution. But when matter and double become one, cosmic solitude no longer exists. And this solitude, which used to be painful for the ego, becomes a refuge for the being in relation with himself. It's a full solitude, no longer a solitude devoid of meaning. But as planetary initiation is lived and cannot be understood according to the philosophy of the ego, solitude becomes an inevitable and necessary experience. For it cuts into the ego, making him realize, little by little, that he can only be alone in life if he is unaware of the reality of his life. As much as the loneliness of planetary initiation is an illusion, a suffering of the ego, it is full of meaning when the ego begins to see what he is, what he is becoming. As much as it seems irrational suffering to him, it becomes a necessary tool that reflects the coming together of that great force within him, the double. It is the power, the great vibratory power of the double against the mental and emotional that creates the psychological spacing of solitude. But if the ego learns to pull himself together in this solitude, he will endure it and solitude won't be able to make it bend too much. We mustn't forget that the ego is a dimension encapsulated in matter, and that this whole, once refined, no longer has the same value in his own eyes. This is when solitude serves to make the ego indestructible, unaffectable, because he no longer reacts in the same way to what happens in life. He understands everything in terms of its eventual fusion. And this frees him psychologically from the stress created by life's events. Once conscious, stress no longer exists for him, and even the disturbing events used by the double for fusion no longer have any psychological effect on him. Only the vibratory effect is felt. And it is this effect that becomes the ever-decreasing weight on his shoulders, until he is no longer troubled by anything. His solitude, or rather the solitude of planetary initiation, leads the ego to be without support outside himself, in order to become aware of himself on other levels. Otherwise, he would fall back into its old habits of seeing the material world as more important, when in fact the material world would not exist without the contribution of the parallel worlds. This more objective vision of reality makes him objective and enables him to see the action of the double in all that is life within him or through him. Planetary man then becomes aware of a subtle plane that is less and less detrimental to him. And it's at this point that he discovers his true creativity. That creativity which has nothing to do with the ego itself, but flows through it like an endless, abundant spring. The solitude of the planetary being puts an end to the cycle of subjective thought because it hinders its mechanical development. It is then replaced by a new form of instantaneous cognition, never afflicted by emotion. For the conscious ego to stop remembering, he must be able to act instantaneously. But this instantaneousness can only be manifested or created by the double, for the latter makes no use of subjective memory, since it contains everything that is or must serve man. But man is not used to living without memory. That's why solitude forces him to let go of a false fullness, born of the mechanical activity of his memory. If he lives the great solitude, the egoic mind can only see himself in terms of a great emptiness. This neutralizes the subjective memory and gradually projects it into a more impersonal, creative memory. Here, he gradually comes to realize that, indeed, his unconscious life is a misunderstood game that he no longer wants to live unconsciously. When, in fact, he can create its own rules, its own game, because there is no longer any difference, no wall, between the double, the cosmic and the planetary man. For the ego to become aware of the double as an integral part of himself, it must experience solitude. Because in this experience, he can refer less and less to himself in the past, since the solitude of initiation forces him to live in the present. And it's in the present that the double manifests itself. And as long as solitude serves the double, the ego must live it, because it predisposes him to no longer subjectively play at life. He is forced to live in conditions that are under the vibratory power of the double. This is why the irrational seems ridiculous at first glance, not because it really is, but because the ego sees it as such, due to his inability to live under the power of the double in his life. This power is vibratory, not psychological. In order to destroy the reasons the ego may give for an event that it cannot accept because of its irrationality. In fact, the irrational does not exist. Only the ego's subjective memory exists, which gives the event a value he rejects, because it doesn't fit in with his subjective vision of things. The ego doesn't realize, until he has experienced the great solitude, that material life must be harmonized according to the power of the double through him and not according to the ego's body of desire against the double. If we call this state of mind solitude, it's because it means that the man who advances towards consciousness, the man who becomes aware of the activity of the double within him, realizes, in effect, that his total consciousness is a function of a totality that cuts across the mental and emotional worlds to which he has been accustomed since birth. In other words, he becomes aware that the reality of his spirit is superimposed on the mental and emotional reality of his lower self. And the ego's awareness of this situation creates loneliness. That is to say, torn apart, separated in his links with humanity, he establishes links with cosmic and transplanetary forces, forces that are beyond matter. And when the double becomes conscious in man, that is to say when the double develops its roots and the ego consequently becomes conscious of them, a phenomenon of solitude occurs in man, because the ego in the limitation of its consciousness takes upon itself the great consciousness of the double. And the relationship between the infinity of the double and the finitude of the ego creates this solitude, which at first is painful for man, because it forces him to consider himself in terms of something else. That is to say, in terms of something greater than himself, something that is of him, but greater than himself. And it's this difference, this differential, this relationship between infinity and finitude, the cosmic and the planetary, that creates the state of spirit we call the solitude of planetary initiation. The being who tomorrow will be in contact with universal intelligence will no longer be able to refer subjectively to the memory of his emotions and the memory of his subjective thoughts, because the powerful intervention in his life of the double, that is to say light, will prevent the ego from returning to the past, from feeling man's planetary smallness, and will enable the ego to man, this new being, to realize, after having experienced solitude, that indeed this period, which was temporary, was necessary. For it predisposed the old man to become, tomorrow, the new man, the Superman, the man who no longer needed psychological support, to be the man who was no longer existentially worried about life, but the man who had discovered, realized, what at last, after centuries and centuries, the ancient esoteric and hermetic knowledge of mankind had been willing to make him understand, through the symbolic voice of the astral, without being able to make him realize it. For it is only the double that can give man the light his ego needs to make his intelligence clear, his will powerful and his love great. Those who know the solitude of planetary initiation will understand the mystery of man, will understand the mystery of spirit, and will realize that man and spirit are one, and that this solitude is only the result of the imperfect relationship between spirit and man.